back in 2005, we found that the way that DOD structured and implemented their award fee contracts basically diluted the power of some kind of monetary incentive to motivate excellent contractor performance.
And it's not much of a motivator if everybody gets it.
That's right. We found that the DOD at that time paid almost $8 billion in award fees, regardless of the outcomes, and that they often paid significant amounts of fee for acceptable or average performance.
And since then, you had recommendations, or GAO mm-hmm. had recommendations, and this report, my understanding, is a follow-up to make sure that those are going through, yes?
That's correct. And what we did in this latest report is we looked also at several other agencies. We looked at a total of five agencies that represent contracts that have about 95% of all award fee contracts. But it's a little bit of a good news story and also some additional room for improvement.
Where is the room for improvement? Where can they fix?
Okay. Well, let's start with DOD, because I think it's important to note that we did find some serious problems back in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we found that in 52% of their contracts we reviewed, they basically rolled over, which is a term that's used that if a contractor during one evaluation period doesn't earn a fee, the agency may roll over some of that fee, unearned fee, to the next period. So they basically had a second shot at it. So we found back then 52% of the contracts, contractors had an opportunity to get a second chance at the unearned fee. But when we looked at it this time, we found that it was more of an exception than a rule, and only about 4%.
Oh, that's a tremendous improvement.
That's a big change, yeah.
That's right. And we also found that there were savings associated with that. We estimated about $450 million savings for just eight programs through fiscal year 2010.
All right. So how did they achieve this in 4 years in the contracting world is not a tremendously long period of time.
No, it isn't. Congress had directed DOD to improve their guidance, which DOD did. And as our report noted, we have found some examples where actually you did see some change, and that's really good to see. But we found that it really hadn't permeated throughout the DOD enterprise, so there's still some extra room for improvement.
So if we come back and look at this 4 years from now, as I imagine some member of Congress will ask you to do, it's entirely likely that this can this progression chain continue at the rate that it's going now? Or have they gotten it by getting it down to 4%? Have they smashed it down so low that it's going to be hard for them to continue that?
No, I'd like to say there's other areas for improvement over at DOD, and that's an area of particularly linking their fees to performance. For example, we found back in 2005 that there were a variety of scales used as to how they evaluated a contractor's performance. And in this particular review, we not only looked at DOD, but we looked at other federal agencies, and we found that DOD has done a better job of using clear criteria. And in doing so, we found that they had some savings. In this particular case, we found they saved $29 million by just having clear criteria used to evaluate the contractor's performance by tying it to outcomes.
You also looked at energy, health and human services, Homeland Security, and NASA. And I want to leave NASA out. Did they do as well? Did they show as much improvement as DOD did?
Well, we saw the greatest improvement at DOD, but as I mentioned before, there's still room for improvement. But with the other federal agencies that you mentioned, we found that they aren't in the same place. The DOE and DHS and Health and Human Services aren't quite far along in terms of getting their guidance that drives how they do these types of transactions up to the OMB standards. We found, for example, that, say, in the area of linking fees to performance, we found that, say, at DOE, you could meet expectations and make 91% of your fee, while at HHS, Health and Human Services, you might get 35% for satisfactory performance. So we saw a wide variation. So I think there's still room for improvement at some of the civilian agencies.
By making those percentages more uniform?
Well, I think the key here is if you pay a contractor 91% fee for meeting their expectations, that leaves very little fee left to actually motivate the contractor for future performance.
Let's talk also about the comparison. I mean, I know that DOD made great strides in improvement, especially when you talk about the money that was saved, but the way I remember your original report, I'll spit it out. Mm-hmm. The way I remember the original report was DOD had the most room to improve.
Well, they certainly spend a large percent of the dollars for these types of contracts. So, yes, I think you're correct. And again, Congress got the ball moving by requiring them to upgrade their guidance. And then, of course, the OMB came out with some additional guidance for all federal agencies. So, yes, you're right in some ways.
So where do we go from here? We have this report that's 4 years on after the first one. By implementing these things, when we come back and at some point in the future, what will you want to see in order to be able to write a report that says everything has been fixed and working just as it should be?
Well, I think the best thing to see is, one, that particularly the civilian agencies improve their guidance to so that contracting officials can better apply the best practices and standards that will better link the contractor's performance to outcomes. I think also one of our recommendations, a key recommendation, was that we wanted the federal agencies to get a better sense as to how best to evaluate the effectiveness of the use of an award fee.
And, Mr. Hutton, before we let you go, I wanted to touch on another report that did same thing but completely different, about compliance with time and materials contracts and how these safeguards have not been applied to GSA schedules. Could you give me a little bit of insight into that, too?
Sure. This is a technical area, and time and material contracts are basically considered high risk for the government because a contractor's profit is more or less tied to the number of hours they work. Mm-hmm. For the government, thus the government bears the total risk of the cost overruns. And in this study, after Congress had allowed the use of time material contracts for commercial services, we went in as a mandate for Congress to look at what's happening, and we found that on one level, it didn't appear like there was a use of time material contracts for commercial services, but we found that there was a large use of it for contracts under the GSA schedules. And what we found in doing this work was that when Congress allowed the use of time material contracts for commercial services, they provided that there'd be additional safeguards, because really you want the contracting authority to make sure that they're using those contracts in the best circumstances. Otherwise, you know, generally you try to do things more in a fixed price way. What we found was that those safeguards weren't applicable to those contracts that were under the General Service Administration schedules. So there's a large dollar value of contracts that didn't have the same requirements as other contracts.
Oh, okay. How did the agencies in your review take that?
Well, basically, the OMB, Office of Federal Procurement Policy, agreed with our recommendations that, you know, there's really, from our eyes, no reason why these contracts should be treated differently, whether you're under a schedule or not. But the General Services Administration did not comment.